Coley, for the delegation, Ambassador Power, gave a few reasons for the visit. And in summary, she said, the council came to make clear that the best way forward in averting further destabilization and to give the peace agreement a chance to take hold and to give civilians a chance to receive the food they vitally need is to allow the regional protection force to be deployed. The visit also was because of the deep concern the council had about the fighting that has degraded the security environment and that has exacerbated the humanitarian crisis for the people of the country. And the council also wanted to see progress made on the regional protection force, which can be very important in enhancing the sense of security and building confidence, and also in allowing UNMISS to have the capacity to go out and about and go beyond the POC sites. The Ambassador Power also noted that the international community is extremely frustrated with the obstruction of UNMISS peacekeeping operation, and that has gone on far too long. The Council made it clear that part of what needs to happen alongside negotiations with the Regional Protection Forces is that some of the restrictions on patrolling, the harassment, the public statements that treats UNMISS as something other than a partner to peace, has to stop. And so they wanted to see very concrete commitments with regard to accountability, and noted the significant spike in attacks, not only against South Sudanese people, but also the larger international aid community, aid workers, but also attacks against UN peacekeepers. And they wanted to stress the need for accountability when civilians are targeted and UN personnel. And at the same time, they also came to encourage full cooperation of the government with the African Union establishment of the hybrid court. So it was really positive at when after the meeting with the president, the public communique that was made to the media that stating that the transitional government are now ready to implement Chapter 5 of the peace agreement, and that is including working with the African Union in setting up the hybrid court for South Sudan.
Yes, Chantal, given the sentiments on the streets before the visit of the Security Council delegation to the country, and after that, there is a lot of rhetoric, if I can say, and a general perception that the UN is or might be trying to take over the country.
There's no such plan to do that or impose a trustee on South Sudan and take over or take over the country with the Regional Protection Force. As the Security Council said on its visit, the UN is here to accompany. We're not here to impose. And Minister Lamora also echoed the same sentiments by saying he wanted to assure the people of South Sudan on rumors that the UN has come to impose or bring foreign forces to take the freedom of South Sudan. He said it's not there. He further went on to emphasize that the point that what is being underlined here is partnership, a partnership between the Republic of South Sudan and the UN, and as to how to improve security and prevent conflict in the country. And the Council made it a point to reaffirm its strong commitment to the sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity of the country, and noted the importance of the principles of non-interference and a general regional cooperation. And it's in this spirit that the international community is deeply concerned by the prevailing tense and fragile security situation in the country and the continued violence involving armed clashes between the SPLA and the SPLA-IO and armed groups. So I would just like to reemphasize that we, the UN mission, limits itself to fulfilling its role. And it does not engage in politics or support to any one party or side in the ongoing conflict or violence in this country.
Another persisting question also is that the relationship between the regional protection force, I mean the relationship between the deployment of the regional protection force and the return of former Vice President, first Vice President Dr. Riek Machar. People say if Riek Machar is gone, what is the need for the deployment of the regional protection force when the government of the transitional government of national unity is working?
The force is still needed, and it's important to remember and recognize when the UN deployed or when the UN Security Council first created UNMISS, it never imagined that there would be some 200,000 civilians taking refuge at UN sites. And these sites today are taking up a large amount of UNMISS capacity. So for UNMISS to be out and about and to be patrolling the neighborhoods, the communities, to be offering civilians confidence and to be protecting installations and just generally ensuring freedom of movement, this addition of regional forces is very important. And also one final point on that question. When we talk about sending 4,000 peacekeepers to South Sudan on top of the force that is already here, it is with one community in mind, and that is the people of South Sudan, to protect and to ensure that they get the humanitarian assistance that they need.
Yes, and the question that comes also is whether this force, the regional protection force, will be deployed outside of Juba.
The mandate does not restrict them to Juba. It says that en extremis, and that would mean to be able to deploy elsewhere. So, for example, if the force commander and the special representative of UNMISS, in consultations with the government, assess that UNMISS forces could be better deployed, for example, to Wau or to other parts of South Sudan, that's a judgment that could be made at the time. But if necessary, they can be deployed anywhere in the Republic.
UNMISS has complained about being hampered in its operations. How has this been dealt with up to now?
Well, the Security Council expressed their concerns about this issue to the government, and the government promised to take action. The government directly gave its assurances to the council that there is no intention to block neither the movement of UN troops nor our humanitarian partners from reaching people in need. And as expressed in the joint communique of last weekend, the Transitional Government of National Unity has agreed to work in fresh spirit of cooperation with the UN to advance the interests of South Sudanese people. And it's important to let the UN do its work and to allow the UN to be a partner in the effort that many leaders are trying to make so that we can bring back peace to this country.
Now, my last question is about the option for arms embargo on South Sudan. Is it still a strong option?
I think it's important that we have to recognize that there are groups who have acted with impunity. And have carried out killings, rape, looting, stealing humanitarian aid. Even a World Food Programme warehouse that was stocked with food for innocent, hungry people in this country was looted. So there are people out there who don't want to cooperate with UNMISS and who don't want to cooperate with the Regional Protection Force and don't want to see UNMISS strengthened. They just want to operate with impunity. So what the council says is that they are acting on Plan A, and they expect the government of South Sudan, as the newest member state to the United Nations, to want to end the culture of impunity, to want to end killing, sexual assaults, and ethnically based attacks. So they don't want to get to Plan B, as this would be a huge and grave disappointment, not only to the UN Security Council, but for the people of this country who count on the government. So ultimately, the UN hopes that the Regional Protection Force is something that the key leaders in South Sudan will see as being in the interest of the South Sudanese people. If they don't, and if that doesn't happen, the UN Security Council resolution is itself very explicit about what Plan B will entail. And the Council will have to come together and consider the steps laid out in the resolution which include targeted sanctions and an arms embargoes. But really, and finally, I think it's important to recognize the objective is not to have to go to that point, and for the government and for all relevant actors in this country to embrace the regional protection force and embrace the UN family generally as partners in the effort to ensure the dignity and security of the people of this country.